Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is already our third investors and analysts call this year. We are getting into a nice routine here. Thanks for your interest in our Schaltbau Group. Good to have you with us today. For all of you who don't know me yet, my name is Jürgen Brandes, and I'm the CEO of Schaltbau Holding AG. Just some formalities before we start. Today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on information currently available to our company. As a result of risks and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made in this presentation. We do not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Furthermore, financial figures provided in this presentation may not add up due to rounding. Finally, please take notice that this call will be recorded, and the recording of the call, as well as the presentation, will be made available on our website shortly. Let's move to slide number three and get started. At the beginning, I will point out some highlights of our half-year results and report on the progress we have made in executing our Strategy 2023. My colleague, Steffen Munz, will then dive a little bit deeper into our financial results for the first 6 months, and as always, the whole management team, namely Steffen Munz and Volker Kregelin and myself, will be happy to answer any questions you might have afterwards. Let me start with some general remarks about our environment. The economy is recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic, but the supply chains are still quite tight. You may remember that we have reported this already in our 3 months call. The market has experienced some material shortages, and we need some extra effort to ensure an uninterrupted production schedule too. Something we have talked about in our last call, as well as that the market has experienced COVID-19-induced order delay for some major rolling stock projects on the one hand, and that we have seen high project volumes in rolling stock in Western Europe with quite many large tenders on the other hand. So, no fundamental changes in this respect. But, and that's good news, we do see an accelerated growth dynamic in the new energy, new industry, and e-mobility markets. And these are, as you might recall, our target markets for the expanding Schaltbau expertise and business beyond our core rail business. So what are our highlights for the first 6 months? The core message we would like to bring across today is the headline. The half-year result underlines our profitable growth strategy. We are definitely on track. The execution of our Strategy 2023 has delivered first results. The profitability in rolling stock, that's Bode, has improved significantly to an EBIT margin of 3.4%. That's a leap of 3.2 percentage points in comparison with the previous year's period. Our after-sales revenues are up 18% year-on-year at 36 million euros. And as you know, the after-sales business holds attractive margins. You may have seen the additional corporate news about the acquisition of Volva Antriebstechnik we have sent out this morning right after the Pinch team signed the contract. This acquisition is an example of the smaller tuck-in acquisitions we are planning as part of our Strategy 2023 to strengthen our core, our rail business. I will give you a bit more background later in this presentation. We are gaining momentum in new energy, new industry, just as we had planned. Orders in new energy, new industry are up 49% year-on-year. That's really great news. We have reached a very important milestone for our e-mobility automotive business. We have been nominated as a supplier for an e-truck platform of a leading commercial vehicle OEM. That's our first formal supplier nomination in the e-mobility automotive. This underlines the progress we have made with regards to our e-mobility automotive sales funnel. Last but not least, our two major projects, the construction of our new next factory in Velden and the digital interlocking pilot project, Zwieseler Spinne, are on track. With regards to our financials, we are continuing our profitable growth path with further improved profitability. Our revenue is up 6% at 253.3 million euros. Our EBIT is up to 42% at 30.6 million euros, and our EBIT margin expanded 1.4 percentage points to 5.4%. We considerably strengthened our balance sheet with a mandatory convertible bond of 60 million euros, which we issued in April. Stefan will tell you more about it later. Another financial highlight, our order intake is gaining momentum. If you look at the first half year, our orders were up 3% compared to previous year's period. If you look now at Q2, orders are already up 12% year-over-year. All figures are where we expected them to be, and thus we confirm our guidance with an order intake between 550 million and 580 million euros, a group revenue between 520 million and 540 million euros, and an EBIT margin of approximately 5%. Slide number four. Before I tell you a bit more about the progress we have made in executing our Strategy 2023 and where we currently stand in our two major business fields, rail and DC power, let me just briefly do a recap of the four main strategic pillars of our Strategy 2023 and the quantitative targets we have set until 2026. For pillar number one, sustainable performance improvement, we target a high single-digit EBIT margin for the entire group by 2026. That also means that our profitability target for rolling stock is an EBIT margin somewhere between 6%-8%. In addition, we target a mid-teen ROCE at the latest by 2026. For pillar number two, profitable growth in our core business, rail infrastructure and rolling stock, we target a compound annual growth rate for our rail revenue of 4%-6% from 2020 to 2026. This means we want to grow more than two times faster than the overall rail market. The overall rail market is estimated to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 2.3% from 2020 to 2025, according to Uniphase latest rail market report. For pillar number three, growing the after-sales business, we want to reach a compound annual growth rate of 6%-7% from 2020 to 2026 for our after-sales revenue. This means we target to increase the after-sales revenue from 60 million euros in 2020 to around 100 million euros in 2026, and profit from those attractive margins in this business. For pillar number four, expanding our footprint in high-growth markets like new energy, new industry, and e-mobility, we aim to double our DC power revenue from 160 million euro in 2020 to around 300 million in 2026. Slide number five. What's the current status of our rail business? For rail infrastructure, we have seen a high demand for level crossings during the last month, resulting in a strong order intake at the end of the first half year. Shipment will most likely be in quarter four, and you can expect a high corresponding sales volume in Q4 also. Our digital level crossing pilot project, Zwieseler Spinne, is on track as planned. It is also a digital interlocking system. We have just implemented the test hardware, and it's working just fine. With today's tuck-in acquisition of Volvo, we are complementing Pinch portfolio and thus strengthening our core rail business. Volvo is an innovative point machine that's a key component for a comprehensive level crossing offer. With regards to our rolling stock business, that's Bode, we continue to execute our full potential plan to improve profitability. This is already paying off. The EBIT margin at Bode has already improved 3.2 percentage points to 3.4%, mainly because of a leaner overhead, an improved productivity, and most important, the expanded after-sales business. Although we see a slight decrease in Bode's order intake and revenue in the first six months of 2021 compared to previous year's period, the long-term growth perspective is intact. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused some delays in orders, and some projects have been postponed, for example, in the U.S., but we consider this just a temporary effect. We are making very good progress in expanding our after-sales business. As you recall, this is one of our four main strategic pillars to increase the financial performance. Backed by quite a large installed base, which is growing continuously, our after-sales revenue, which offers attractive margin, is up 18% year-on-year at 36 million euros. Slide number six. As you might recall, with a revenue share of currently 49% of the overall group revenue, Bode is our strongest lever to improve profitability in this group. We are targeting an EBIT margin of 6%-8% for Bode in 2026 at the latest. We have already jumped from an EBIT margin of 0.2% in last year's period to an EBIT margin of 3.4% in the first half year of 2021. The execution of our full potential plan delivers, obviously, the expected results. You may have seen some part of the graphic to the right already in our three-month call. It shows levers we identified to improve profitability and the targeted contribution until 2026 at the latest. These Harvey balls now show the progress we have made so far. As you can see, the improvement to date is based on first quick wins, for example, reduced overhead costs, quickly implemented productivity measures on the shop floor, as well as the continuously increasing after-sales business. Executing our full potential plan will take altogether 42 to 36 months, and we will keep you updated on our progress. As a short recap, approximately 31% of the optimization potential is expected to come from our material savings, that's improvement procurement of direct material. Around 18% will come from the design to cost activities, where we incorporated cost aspect very early in our development process, thus being able to optimize cost in a later production process. Around 17% will come from streamlining our overhead costs, around 15% from an increased shop floor productivity. After sales will be contributing roughly 12% to this improvement, although we already anticipate an over-fulfillment for the after-sales contribution considering where we stand today. Around 7% will come from using a lead cost country approach for production processes. Let's move to slide 7. If we take a close look at our after-sales business, we can see that we can tap into our installed base, which has grown considerably during the last years. Over the last 15 years, we had a compound annual growth rate of around 10% for the newly installed door systems, leading us to currently 100,000 door systems in the market. We have already increased our after-sales revenue in the first half year, 2021, by 18% to 36 million euros compared to the previous year period. So the 100 million euros, which we target until 2026, are very realistic when you count the annual growth rate of the newly installed systems. Let's move on to slide number 8. And have some few words to our current acquisition of Volva Antriebstechnik. One of our strategic directions in our strategy 2023 is strengthening our core rail business. One of the measures we have announced to take in this respect are small tuck-in acquisitions to complement our portfolio or competitive edge. Volva Antriebstechnik is an example of such a small tuck-in acquisition. It's small, specialist supplier of components for rail signaling technology based in Germany, and what's quite interesting, Volva Antriebstechnik is a specialist for point machines. Point machines are a key actuator for rail infrastructure. That's why we had an eye on the company in the first place. The company has its own research and development as well as production and is active in the refurbishment market for points. They have developed an innovative point machine in close collaboration with Deutsche Bahn. You can see it on the picture to the right. Besides a robust mechanics, the middle positioning of this point machine is one of the strong, unique value proposition. It allows the renewable of the ballast bed without having to remove the entire point machine. So that's a significant time and cost saving aspect for maintenance of points and the whole track. This point machine technology complements Pinch portfolio by using Pinch strong global market access. We see further growth potential with this technology. So, to summarize, the Volva acquisition is just an example for how we intend to deliver results with regards to our strategy directions, goals defined in our strategy 2023. Slide number 9. Now let's move on to our DC power business and what's happening there. Schaltbau once again showed a strong performance in the first half year 2021 with a steady high EBIT margin. We have double-digit growth rates in order intake and revenue, and these are backed by an accelerated growth in our new markets, new energy, new industry. Order intake from this market is up 49% year-on-year. Revenue is up 36% year-on-year. That's a very dynamic growth we are experiencing here. A similar continued growth can be seen in e-mobility charging that are the fast charging solutions for e-buses by SBRS. Order intake from this market is up 33% year-on-year. Revenue, an impressive 129%. In terms of product development and go-to-market, we now have the special purpose C8XX contactor available. That's a contactor which exactly meets the requirement of the automotive industry for high range and fast charging. That's a further step in expanding our footprint in the e-mobility market, especially in the e-mobility automotive. We continue to gain traction and have reached a very important milestone in the first half year of 2021. We have just recently, as shown on slide 10, been nominated as a supplier for a new e-truck platform of a leading commercial vehicle. Sorry, it was at number nine. The estimated start of production will be in 2023, and our major project in this area, our next factory to expand our production capacities, is on track as planned. We have already completed the groundwork. The shell is under construction, and we are working on the details of the DC microgrid. Now, let's move to slide number 10 and have a closer look on the new energy, new industry. That's a Schaltbau component business in these markets. As said, we have increased our order intake for components from this market by 49% to now 15.9 million euros. That's quite a leap. You can see two use case examples from this market to the right on this slide. The first example are forklifts for material handling. Forklifts are very often powered by batteries, and therefore, they are using Schaltbau components. The second use case are high-power charging stations. More and more manufacturers of charging stations are also using Schaltbau contactors in these stations. Both applications, material handling and high-power charging, thus provide high growth potential for our component business. Just a side note to make our differentiation clear between new energy and new industry and e-mobility charging. When we talk about new energy and new industry, that's solely Schaltbau's component business. On the other hand, when we talk, however, about e-mobility charging, we are talking about the fast charging application business of SBRS. Here, the main focus are e-bus charging depots, for example, in the German Nahverkehrs environment. Slide number 11. The graphic on the next slide you may have seen in our three-month call. That's our progressing sales funnel in the e-mobility automotive. We talked extensively about the long sales cycle for automotive projects already in our last call. From the first initial face-to-face contact, you need to calculate approximately 3-5 years with the steps described in the graphic until you can lock in a first order. You see how our sales funnel has progressed and that we have now reached an important milestone. Our first platform win for an e-truck platform of a leading commercial vehicle OEM. As said, the estimated start of production here will be in 2023. You can see that we have a number of additional projects in an advanced joint design project and design freeze phase. Definitely more to come. Why do we think that we are able to succeed in the e-mobility automotive market and win even more platforms? Slide number 12. This can be seen in the following competitive positioning chart. If you put it in one sentence, it would be, our components have the highest technology performance, and we have with the capacity for the necessary mass production for our automotive industry with our next factory. I don't want to go into much detail with regards to the technology differentiation, but our contactors, C8XX, are easily adaptable to the specific requirements defined by the car manufacturer. With our design toolbox, we are optimizing our contactors exactly to those needs. Advantages are, for example, a fast reaction time and high robustness by proven design features. Normal currents are handled by our contactors without wearing them out. The worst which could happen with too high currents is welding of the respective contacts. It all comes back to safety and availability. That's our product promise. We will keep that also in the automotive industry, just like we have for many, many years in the rail industry. As we see the market, most rail specialists will most likely stay in the market, but also aim to participate in the expected electrification of industrial applications. That's where we are already active in and growing dynamically. Volume players, on the other hand, are already active in the automotive mass market, but their technology is definitely different to ours. For sure, we will have to deal with the competitive pressure, but we are certain that our design toolbox and technologies will give us also here a competitive edge needed to succeed in this market. With our next factory, we also have the production capacities for the upcoming mass market in that industry. Move now to slide 13. Before I hand over to Stefan, I would like to exercise another already established routine, a new picture of the construction site of our next factory, so you can see the progress. Interestingly enough, we had invested in the drainage and in the pump systems for the construction site already in spring, and I can tell you this already has paid off. Despite the high amount of rain, which resulted in some flooding, not only in North Rhine-Westphalia or in Rhineland-Pfalz, but also in Bavaria, we are able to continue the construction work without any interruptions. Everything is on track as planned. Stefan, now your turn for our financial deep dive.
Thank you, Jürgen, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. As a review of financial results for the first six months of 2021 on a group level. I will quickly walk you through the segment results for the first six months. Finally, I will give you an update on our guidance for fiscal year 2021, which we reaffirm today. Let me start with a short summary of the financial highlights on slide 14. We remain firmly on track for profitable growth and improved profitability. Revenue was up 6%, EBITDA increased by 42%, and the EBIT margin ended at 5.4%, an improvement of 1.4 percentage points compared to the same period last year. We recorded a strong performance in Q2. Revenue was up 8%, EBITDA increased by 30%, and the EBIT margin ended at 5.8%, an improvement of 1 percentage point compared to Q2 in 2020. This is an ample proof that the measures implemented as part of Strategy 2023 to boost financial performance are bearing fruit. Order intake is continuing to gain momentum. Orders were up 3% in H1 and pulling ahead even faster with a 12% increase in the second quarter. The orders were up 18% year-over-year at Pinch and up 14% at Shartbot GmbH, respectively. The book-to-bill ratio remains at a very healthy level of 1.1. On a segment level, we are pleased with the profitability improvement at Bode. The EBIT margin rose by 1.4 percentage points to 5.4%. We're also excited about the very high growth momentum in the targeted new energy, new industry markets at Shartbot GmbH, while maintaining its high level of profitability. Net working capital was at 126.8 by end of June, a reduction of 15.5 million as compared to end of Q2. We generated a positive free cash flow of 8.2 million in Q2, despite the investments in the next factory, thanks to the strong cash flow from the operating activities. We are also pleased that we strengthened the balance sheet through the issued mandatory convertible bonds in April. We generated 15.7 million of net proceeds from the convertible. As a result, the equity ratio stood at 38%, an improvement of 16 percentage points as compared to end of December 2020. The financial leverage was reduced to 0.7 turns as compared to 1.9 turns as of end of last year. Finally, backed by a solid business performance in the first six months, in combination with a healthy backlog to ship, we confirm our guidance for fiscal year 2021. We continue to expect an order intake in the range of between 550 million and 580 million, revenue in the corridor of between 520 million to 540 million, and an EBIT margin of around 5% of revenue. If you turn to slide 15, I will review selected key performance indicators. Order intake was up 3.5%. We recorded an order intake of 143 million in Q2, a sequential improvement of 6.5 million or 5% compared to Q1. Group revenue came in at 263 million, up 5.8%. Group EBIT came in at 13.6 million, up 42% year-over-year. We recorded an EBIT of 7.5 million in Q2, a sequential improvement of 1.4 million or 23% compared to Q1. As a result, the EBIT margin finished the first half at 5.4%, an improvement of 1.4 percentage points compared to the same period last year. Turning to slide 16, I will explain other selected key performance indicators. Net working capital. We reduced the net working capital by 15.5 million to 127 million by the end of June. Despite the current development on the procurement markets, especially for raw materials and material deliveries required for production. ROCE was at 9.5% as per end of June, an improvement of 1.4 percentage points compared to end of December 2020, and 1.1 percentage points compared to end of March. Free cash flow amounts to -2.4 million in the first six months, compared to -2.8 million in the same period of last year. I would like to point out that we generated a positive free cash flow of 8.2 million in the second quarter, despite investments in our next factory, thanks to a strong cash flow from the operating activities. Moving next to slide 17, which illustrates our current equity and net debt situation. Our equity ratio is at healthy 38% compared to 22%, an improvement of 16%. Financial leverage declined by 1.2 turns from 1.9 at per end of 2020 to 6.7% as per end of June. Now, to provide more color on the financial results of our four reporting segments. Moving to slide 18, I will start with our rail infrastructure business at Pinch. Overall, Pinch had a solid start into fiscal year 2021, in line with the historical seasonality of the business. A strong order intake will support the growth in the next coming quarters. Order intake increased significantly by almost 18%, mainly due to the continued strong demand for level crossing, benefiting from the investment program, Digitale Schiene Deutschland. Revenue in Q1 was in line with the historical seasonality of the business. EBIT decreased by 1.3 million to 0.8 million, resulting in an EBIT margin of 2.4%. Please keep in mind that the first half is historically weaker in terms of revenue and EBIT due to the back-end loaded nature of the business. Moving next to the rolling stock segment at Bode on slide 19. Overall, we are very pleased with a significant improvement in profitability at Bode, which already shows the first results of the after-sales business and the execution of our Full Potential Plan. Order intake was down 17.7% compared to previous year. At 67 million, order intake in the second quarter was 10.3 million higher than in the fourth quarter. Overall, the book-to-bill ratio remained at a solid level of nearly 1.0 in the first six months, 2021. Bode delivered revenue of 121 million, down 2.7% year-over-year. Bode delivered an EBIT of 4.1 million in six months, 2021, up 3.9 million compared to previous year. As a result, the EBIT margin improved significantly by 3.2 percentage points from 0.2% to 3.4%. We are very pleased with the significantly improved profitability at Bode, which already shows the first results of executing our Strategy 2023. Moving next to our e-mobility and refurbishment business at SBRS on slide 20. Overall, SBRS is continuing its dynamic growth momentum, primarily driven by the fast charging solutions in the e-mobility business. SBRS recorded another very strong quarter in order intake. Order intake was up to 11% compared to six months, 2021. We are benefiting from a continued strong momentum in the e-mobility business. Revenue was up 77% year-over-year. The strong revenue growth is also mainly driven by the e-mobility bus business. Segment EBIT amounted to 1.3 million and was similar to the previous year's period, while the EBIT margin stands at 6%. I will conclude the review of the segment results with the components business at Schaltbau GmbH on slide 21. Overall, the components business is continuing the dynamic growth in new energy and new industry, with the EBIT margin being steady at a very high level. Orders were up 14% compared to the same period last year. Revenue was up 12% year-over-year. EBIT came in at 12.7 million, up 7% compared to previous year's level. This corresponds to an EBIT margin of 16.4% compared to 17.3% in previous year. Last year's result included a positive one-off effect from the first-time consolidation of Schaltbau India, amounting to 1.6 million. I will close my presentation with an update on our guidance for fiscal year 2021 on slide 22. Backed by a solid performance during the first six months of 2021 and a healthy backlog to ship, we reaffirm our guidance for fiscal year 2021. We continue to expect the order intake to be in the range between 550 million and 580 million. Group revenue is expected to total between 520 million and 540 million. We continue to expect an EBIT margin of around 5% of revenue for fiscal year 2021. I will now hand it back over to Jürgen, who will wrap up the prepared part with the key takeaways.
Thank you, Steffen. Let me now summarize the key takeaways on slide 23. One, we are continuing our profitable growth path, and the execution of Strategy 2023 is delivering expected results. Two, our financial performance has improved. we have raised the group EBIT margin 1.4 percentage points to 5.4%. Three, Bode's profitability has significantly improved. Bode's EBIT margin leaped 3.2 percentage points to 3.4%. Four, we see an accelerated growth in the aftersales, which is backed by our large installed base. Our aftersales revenue is up 18% year-on-year at attractive margins. Five, we are gaining momentum with Schaltbau's components in new energy, new industry. Orders from these markets are up 49% year-on-year, and we achieved our first supplier nomination in e-mobility automotive for a new e-truck platform. Six, we are reaffirming our guidance for fiscal year 2021, and beyond 2021, the long-term outlook looks positive with high growth potential. So thank you for your attention up to this point. Steffen Munz, Volker Kregelin, and myself will now answer any questions you might have. With that, I hand over back to the moderator.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from Florian Pfeilschifter from Stifel Europe Bank. Your question, please.
Yeah, great. Wonderful afternoon, everyone. I would have three questions that I would like to ask one by one, and the first one would be directly at the newly won customer, the commercial vehicle customer. And in your 2026 longer-term outlook, if I'm not mistaken, you assume 30 million of e-mobility and, yeah, car-related, moving-related revenues. And I was just wondering whether you wouldn't need to revise that upwards now with 30 million. I mean, if I consider that correctly, that would be translated to 100,000 cars. And trucks, I would assume, do have a bit higher requirements on the contactors. So my question here is whether you wouldn't need to revise that upwards and whether this only would then happen if you don't need to do it once you have a high-volume passenger vehicle OEM order on hand.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Pfeilschifter, that is, of course, a very interesting question, but unfortunately, and you could expect this, we are bound to our non-disclosure agreements with respect to this. We cannot tell you the name, and probably we have already talked too much by saying it's a leading OEM truck manufacturer. Other than that, we cannot tell you the name for sure. What I want to tell you is we finally were successful because we were able to adapt our concept with the toolbox we are having available to this customer needs. And this is, in my opinion, a first good indicator that our concept is really becoming successful. We already said start of production is in 2023. So with that saying, the whole series might end up in 2030. So you see this kind of business is starting late after nomination, and it takes a long period, but also these quantities are, let me say, not big and will not, this one is not revising our forecast. It is just part of our strategy 2023.
And just to add, Florian, hey, hello, afternoon. On your second part of the question, would that lead to revising our guidance for 2026? I think we're still feeling pretty good about our mid to long term targets. So we target a revenue of between 750 and 800 million by 2026. As part of the 2026 targets, we said 20% will come from the e-mobility automotive business and 50% from the passenger cars and the other 50% or 30 million from the commercial vehicles. So this is the first whatever hit that will fill the 30 million on the commercial vehicle target. So therefore, everything goes as planned, and you know there's more in the pipeline as you have seen, so we are pretty confident that we can deliver on our promise.
Great. Thanks for getting us a bit more details here. Maybe related question to that then, on the economics. So you usually said that one car might translate into 100 euro of contactors. Is this similar with these commercial vehicles, or are the economics for commercial vehicles a bit more upbeat? Maybe it's 150, 200 euros, if you could give us
guidance here. It's a very good question here. So I think we need to differentiate first of all between passenger car and commercial vehicles. And the second differentiation is, okay, what kind of contactors we are delivering. So, and as we outlined, normally we see in the modern concepts of the passenger cars that are being designed at the moment of up to 6 to 7 contactors. And when you deliver the full package of DC contactors, on the other side, there could be more contactors in a commercial vehicle. In that example, we talk about the onboard charging unit. So in that example, we talk about four contactors per car, just to be clear. And I think as we also outlined from an economics perspective, so the higher the volume, generally, the lower the prices, but equating in more or less the same margin. So we talk about commercial vehicles, which have a higher volume than the industrial business. So this also equates when it comes to ASP at the end, because of the higher volume, more or less the same margins.
Great. And so you said for this specific project, it's 4 contactors, similar to ones that are usually used in cars, but for a fully electric commercial vehicle.
This is not what we said. We said it's designed with our toolbox, which we have available, and with the knowledge we have from the rail market as well as the new industry, new energy market. But it is specifically designed to the demand, in this case, for the charging unit.
Okay, but it's not for the drivetrain.
It's not for the drivetrain, right.
Okay, and if you would equip a truck with the entire drivetrain of a truck, how many contactors would you need?
That isn't on the design of the truck. I would not generalize it in this case.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, that's helpful. And then my last question on the other OEM project, could you tell us a little bit more about the progress you're doing here, and when would you think you would be able to announce actual deals with larger volumes?
To be honest, good question again. We are clearly bound also here to non-disclosure agreements. And generally speaking, and I hope this gives you some indication, we feel quite comfortable to keep our promise, what Stefan has already pointing out, in 2026, totally 30 million out of e-mobility automotive. 15 of them comes from passenger cars and 15 from commercial vehicle.
Okay, fair enough. Great. Thanks a lot, and I jump back to the queue and wish you all a good afternoon.
Next question comes from Alexander Hauenstein with DZ Bank. Your question, please.
Yes, hello, Alexander and DZ. Thanks for taking my questions. I also have a few of them, and also please, one by one. First of all, with regard to Pinch, you mentioned in your statement the demand in orders for level crossings. Is this the start of the Deutsche Bahn big investment package, or was this a one-time wonder in the quarter only?
So, yes, yeah. I think you... Sorry, yeah, Alex.
Sorry, you mean referring to the Digitale Schiene Deutschland, you're referring that this starts now. Actually, they have a higher demand at the moment about regional lines. And yes, you can see the first increase of the demands and the orders. But the real push will come in 2 years when all the plannings are done.
Okay, thank you. And with regard to Bode, the bus operator production end that was mentioned, was that an exceptional situation from one client, or do you expect to see more of this kind of things happening in the near future?
Say again, what? Which kind of? I didn't get the question, sorry.
My question is whether this bus operator production end at the border, which you mentioned, whether this is has been an exceptional situation for one client in the quarter, or is this something that you will see from other clients happening as well in the near future? So will there be more stoppages for bus production from other clients?
No. What we have just the Evo bus. And this was a clearly defined strategy of EvoBus to insource the bus manufacturing. Other than that, there's no another incident like this.
Okay, thanks for clarification. Looking at Schaltbau GmbH, the components business, how should we think about the earnings development here for the coming quarters, Q3 and Q4? Is it going to be on the same level? Or even maybe above Q2, or what could eventually drive down margins here in the segment in the second half?
So first of all, I have to say that this is not a long cycle business, it's a short cycle business. So we can just see, let me say, around 3 months ahead. What we also see, and we disclose it very clearly, that the material shortages, but also, let's say, the material prices are giving us some concerns. Let me phrase it in this way. So all in all, we feel quite comfortable with the guidance we have given to you. But as you rightfully say, we were positively seeing the result of the first two quarters, as we are satisfied with the current run rate, but we see also, let me say, a little bit concerns from a material standpoint, cost standpoint.
Okay, but this is the only thing, or is there any other things happening that could somewhat drive down the earnings side here in components?
So, yeah, generally, and also adding to what Jürgen just mentioned, I think, first of all, the margin is pretty consistent to what we're guiding. So we're guiding for the still mainly the rail business of a margin between 16% to 18%. That is in line with the historical average. At the moment, I think, as you have heard from many other companies, also we are confronted with material shortages and in combination with raw material price increases. So this is what Jürgen outlines, the major risk related to the GmbH business. And therefore, we are conservative and cautious when it comes to the second half, because there is a risk that we cannot ignore.
Okay, I understand. And following up on this, on the general group guidance, I understand it's obviously the same, and your wording has, in my view, not really changed. Is that fair to say that you still have some prudence here in your guidance? I mean, I understand last time we spoke in the Q1 call, you mentioned that there is potential that maybe there's a margin of safety. So has this margin of safety been reduced recently, or do you think this is still some kind of the same level, so there hasn't been any changes to that, and maybe we could see some surprise until the end of the year from your side?
So first of all, I think we're feeling pretty good about the guidance, therefore we're confirming the guidance. That's the first statement. The second one, I think we already outlined one part of the risk that is factored into the guidance. Yeah. That you have to understand. And the second point, that is also what we clearly want to outline, we expect for the SPRS business what I call a legacy project that will complete, that will deliver double-digit new revenue, but at a relatively low margin. This is also diluting in the second half our margin profile. I just want to manage expectations here on that front as well.
What kind of legacy project would that be? Which division, if I may ask?
As I mentioned, from the SPRS business, that is a refurbishment project that we're just completing. So that is one of the projects that I call legacy project from the past.
Okay, thank you. And last question, you touched it already in some points, but looking at your targets 2026, and the details on the way to reach these in terms of earnings and sales levels for red and blue subsegments, has there anything changed in the way you think or in the way what you assume since we spoke last time? We spoke about some parts of it already, but apart from that, has there been any changes recently?
I think we're getting, even so from last time, the general nothing changed. I think with the first nomination, I think we're getting more comfort that we're on the right track. Also, we're really confident because the strategy that we're implementing are bearing first fruits in both in after sales, all the strategic dimensions that we're addressing, we're seeing good results. That is also confirming that we are on the right track. And at the end, you know, the big wild card is the e-mobility automotive business, but still we are not on one of the platforms. So therefore, this is the uncertainty or the upside, however you can call it.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, Alex.
Next question is from Christian Kors with Rob Warburg Research. Your question, please.
Yes. Hi, Christian Kors calling. Thanks for taking my question. I would ask them one by one. Maybe first, coming back to the question of Alexander with regards to material costs, that this could become an issue in H2. So my question is, assuming that there's a long-lasting impact on material prices, how quickly can you recover these prices? Does this depend on contract? Are you doing regular price increases, etc.? So how are you prepared there? That's question number one.
Yeah, fair question. You see within our complex portfolio projects, you have a fixed price and you have not a chance to transfer the material cost increases towards the customer. And then on the other hand, you have component business where you, based on the material cost increases with a certain delay, you can also pass these on to the customer to a certain extent. What is interesting, and probably this is experiencing also other industries, you do not see particularly material is just increasing, for example, plastics. So you see these kind of material costs pops up and all of a sudden prices comes back. Like, for example, would you see this discussion in the market as well? So what I just said is you cannot just taking some material costs and pass this to the customer and losing, let me say, face. So we are very cautious how to pass those material costs to the customer. And on the other hand, we have also to deal with material shortages where we have to find materials on for certain shortages on the spot market, but not on in a general terms. So the picture is pretty more complex.
Okay, then I put it in a different way. So would you assume that if the higher material prices are going to last, I mean, yes, you're fully right with the wood prices, they have come down again, but if this is a lasting scenario, how long would you feel the pain before you can restore margins and profitability levels by own price increases? Is it 6 months, 12 months?
This is an something I would love to answer. Looking into the glass ball, it's really hard to give you a clear picture on that. As I said, the picture is complex, and we were not getting a clear picture in the marketplace right now.
Okay, fair enough. Then maybe coming to the second question, in your cash flow statement, you have a minus 62 million change in sundry other financial liabilities. I assume that these are some sort of debt instruments, but I'm not, you used the proceeds from the convertible, but I'm not actually too sure about it, because I would have expected these to be classified as loan repayments. So maybe can you shed some color on this topic?
Yeah, so it's largely we issued the convertible that we generated 57 million of net proceeds. We used that 57 million of net proceeds to pay down our financial liabilities. So this is essentially what happened in the course of the second half.
In the second half? You mean the first half?
In April, when we issued, so end of April, we issued the convertible. So this happened in Q2 or in the first half, sorry. Q2.
Yeah, okay. And then the question is, so now you have going forward, you will have a need for financial funds due to the high CapEx program and the construction of the new factory. So now debt level is strongly reduced. How can you maybe quantify or shed some light? What are your available credit lines?
So I think first of all, with the convertible bonds, our entire growth plan or our plan, strategy 2026 is financed. So this is clear. Yep. So we do not intend to need any further equity and further debt. So therefore, and also we're doing better also in the second half because we expect further prepayments, especially at Pinch. That is also helping us to generate cash. And also we're doing a good job in reducing our net working capital. Long story short, we have a syndicated loan in the amount of 170 million in total. And
sorry, 100? What was it? Sorry, 100?
170, 172 million, and okay. We have not utilized much of the existing syndicated loan, which is especially a revolving credit facility. So there is a lot of financial flexibility in the company. No worries.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Just updating the details. And then the last question is also for clarification one. In relative terms, the capital employed of Pinch has reduced substantially since in the first half, or looking at end of June versus December 31st. Can you shed some, or can you give us some idea what's the background here?
Again, you were asking on Pinch, and what was specifically your question?
Yeah, so if you take Pinch, the capital employed actually, it came down, if I'm not mistaken, by more than 20% in the first half versus year-end 2020. And whether you can, so in relative terms, it is quite substantial. And I wondered what is the background here.
Yes, it's largely kind of we received last year from this pilot project Zwieser der Spinne a prepayment, and the prepayment, it depends of the term of the prepayment. So and what we did, everything what is will be recognized within the next 12 months, we classify as a short-term thing, and what is going beyond 12 months is classified as long-term. And this mainly is driving because we're now in a 12-month window with what we have received in terms of prepayment. This is actually the reason for the reduction in the capital employed for the pinch business.
Okay, understood. And then maybe on that regard, you will receive another big chunk of a down payment towards year end 2021. Is that right? On the Twizel Spinner project?
Yes, that's okay. Right. So as you know, this Twizel Spinner is a large project, and we received 30% of a down payment last year in December. And subject to us completing a major milestone in December, we expect the remaining 70% of the down payment. That is part of our outlook for the year. Therefore, we also will come in at a very positive free cash flow for the year, despite the large investments. But it's not only Twizel Spinne. We also expect further prepayments in the pinch business at the end of the year.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, please limit yourself to one question only. The next question is from Lukas Spang with Tikus Capital. Your question, please.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask a question about the order backlog. In the past, you gave us this KPI, but I think since this year, you don't publish this anymore. Can you give us a rough indication of the order backlog at the end of June? And can you maybe explain a little bit why you don't publish this number anymore?
Yeah, I think there's no specific reason behind why we're not publishing that figure. I think also we want to focus on the few KPIs that really matter. So order intake, I think, is for us the leading indicator. But nevertheless, I think the order intake as per end of June is around 540 million, so which is up in line with our revenue. So also we're building part of our good book-to-bill ratio. We're also building up our backlog in total. So therefore, nothing to be worried about.
Okay. And maybe a short question about the new industry and new energy business. You gave us the absolute number for the order intake. Can you give us also the absolute number for the revenue?
For the revenue in H1 of the new energy and industry business, it was around 13 to 14 million. So therefore, we're running at the moment on a run rate of around 30 million. This is also in line with what we mentioned.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The last question is from the line of Johan van den Hoven with Edison Group. Your question, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Johan van der Hoven, Edison Group. particularly one question, or one number of questions related. About the order intake, if you look at three segments are showing growth and one segment was in decline, that is Bode. And of course, you mentioned that is temporary because also some delays, especially in the US. Can you give a bit more explanation how quickly sort of these delayed orders can be catched up and be translated into revenues, especially about the timing, please?
Yes, so as you heard, we confirmed today our order guidance for the year between 550 and 580 million. So overall, if you take our first half run rate, we're pretty much in line with the guidance. So therefore, I think overall we're pretty good in shape. And as majority of our business is in the project business, and the project business is naturally a business that you cannot really plan exactly, there will be fluctuations. So also, I think we're also having here some projects that are at risk, other projects that we're not counting on that could materialize. So, you know, some puts and takes. Overall, we're feeling pretty good about the 550 to 580 million guidance today.
All right, thank you. But also, you said in the presentation, if you see the higher order intake of pinch, you can already expect revenues before year end. So it will be a good Q4 for pinch. But how does it work with Bode? If the new orders come in second half, I guess that might be revenues next year.
Yeah, that's basically right. So as we also outlined, our shortest cycle business is the GmbH business that has an order lead time of approximately 3 months. So that is our most short cycle business. And I think Bode generally has the longest cycle of our business, and in between are the other businesses. So therefore, we're pretty healthy in terms of sales coverage or backlog to ship for the Bode business for the rest of the year. What will come in will not materialize in all means in 2021 revenue. This is to your question, Johan.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
There are no further questions, and I hand back to Dr. Jürgen Branders for closing comments.
Thank you. I would say we see us today now in a call of the 9 months period. It's scheduled for October 28th. And thank you again for joining us today. And let's have a great day and goodbye.